Well, good morning, friends. This is David Bowler and here with Gospel Dynamite on Tuesday. And we're in a wonderful study on the second coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about the careful preview of the rapture, the certainty of the promise of the rapture, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, by the word of the Lord, Paul wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Hope you're having a great week this week. Sue and I are. We just finished doing newspaper articles. Usually take 2 or 3 days to write articles for a quarter and then send those to Field Smith, and he sends them to one of his secretaries, and they send them out to all the editors and on the papers. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful ministry of sharing the good news of the gospel. In fact, Philip was telling him he sold one of his papers. And it's what he does. He'll sell them and buy others. But he sold one, and the guy said, one stipulation on the contract, that I get to keep God's good news, because my editor has told me that the people in our city love to read what Brother Bowler's writing. And that's a blessing. And so you pray for that as you pray for us as we travel, getting ready to go again, and flying all over the country, that God will give us energy, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak and preach the word of Almighty God. I hope you're doing well and that the Lord is blessing you. And I want you to continue to pray for the station, Brother Tommy Sneed, the team here, that God will bless them. And, you know, I've mentioned before, and maybe we'll talk about it a little later, maybe toward the end of broadcast, I have such a burden that we enlarge the power. I think Tommy was telling me $45,000 to $50,000. We can double the power on the AM and the FM side and double the people that we can reach with the radio. 24 hours a day, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wonderful thing. Well, let's get into the Word. Take your Bible and turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me give you just a kind of a rundown. We talked first of a preview of the rapture and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talked a little bit about the revelation. And then we talked about the certainty of the promise of the rapture. Now, we're dealing with the chronological plan of the rapture. And the first thing we talked about was the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And as we look at this and study this wonderful passage of Scripture, I know it'll be a blessing. We need to be challenged, friends, that Jesus is coming back. It produces an urgency in our heart and our lives to be about God's business, to be giving and praying and laboring and working for the Lord and giving out tracts and sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, having a ministry of your own. And part of my ministry is WDYN, Sue and I, as we have a spiritual portfolio and we want to invest in it. We like to give to it, serve, and help. But we're talking about return of the Lord now, and look at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And we talked about this, the shout of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's come back for his church now. There's no signs. There's no advance warning. It's going to come in just a moment, like the twinkling of an eye. The Lord's going to be here. Now, there are three sounds accompanying his return. And we started talking about these last week. A shout first, kalusma. This is a shout. This is the Lord shouting with a shout, the voice of command, like a military command. Same word that Jesus used when he commanded Lazarus to come forth from the dead. The verse says he cried with a loud voice. That word is a shout, kalusma. Lazarus, come forth. And praise the Lord, he did, and so will all the saints of God. Their bodies will be resurrected. Only the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can awaken those that have died, those bodies, and change those bodies from those that had died and decayed to new, glorious, immortal, uncorruptible bodies. Now, remember, the spirit and the soul had already been with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back for us, they're going to be with the Lord. So first, a shout. Second, we saw the voice of the archangel. For the Lord himself to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, in conjunction, the shout of the Lord, then the conjunction of the voice of the archangel. We talked last week, only three archangels mentioned, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer is Satan. Satan fell. He was the highest of the archangels, responsible for the throne area of God. He rebelled against God. Isaiah said, he said, I will be like the Most High God. He thought he could overthrow God. How foolish that any man thinks he can stand against God or any angel or any other being. He was cast out of heaven. He's the old wicked one now. Well, why rally the angelic host to come with the Lord? Well, first they're going to come celebrate with us the Lord's great victory. Just like they celebrated his birth, the angels rejoicing, they're going to rejoice now of the children, the bride, coming home to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The victory over sin, Satan, and death. And they're going on a warlike status, getting ready. Oh, Satan's the prince of the power of the air, tries to battle the things of Almighty God. So first, the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel. And you know, many Bible scholars think that's Michael. I don't know whether it's Michael or Gabriel, but one of the archangels. The third sound now, we're talking about three sounds we hear, the shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, God the Father. Watch. With the trump of God. This is apparently the last trump, because at the last trump, we're going to be, or maybe the first, the second, we're going to be changed at the last trump, because he said, and the trump of the Lord and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Corinthians 15:52, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. So apparently, this is the last trump. It's blown. And they are resurrected. Those bodies are changed. Now, I tell people now, I'm not looking for signs. I'm listening for sounds. Amen? There are no signs for the rapture. But there are signs. I remember old B.R. Lakin, the old preacher of the gospel, had kind of a Scottish accent. He'd tell the story about this man was a farmer, a wealthy farmer, and he loved to hunt foxes. He had two old foxhounds, one named Bess, one named Blue. Old Bess and old Blue. Now, they get out on their own sometimes. When he didn't have time to do any hunting, they'd get out and maybe run a rabbit every once in a while. But sometimes even he would get through with his work, and he'd go out and saddle up his horse and decide he was going to hunt a while. He would take his hunting horn and one of these, like, you know, big old horn like a shofar or a cattle horn, and he would blow that horn. You would hear it. These old hounds would be out rambling around. They'd hear the sound of that trumpet, and you would hear them bark off in the distance, and they would begin to make their way back to the farm. They're all excited about going with Farmer Brown, their master, and going out and hunt the fox. And so they responded to the trumpet call. Down the road is a little old lap dog. When he's a little dog's hair all on his eyes, and all, he just sit in somebody's lap and didn't, you know, not a responsibility of any kind. When he heard the trumpet, he didn't even move. The trumpet sound did not mean a thing to him. To those of us who are born again, we're going to hear the trumpet sound. The unsaved, the ungodly, those who care not for Jesus are not going to hear it. It won't make a bit of difference. But for us, when that trumpet sounds, it's going to thrill us to death because things are going to begin to happen. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Will that trumpet sound mean anything to you? Is that a settled event in your heart and in your lore, in your life? All right, so we've looked at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the wonderful truths of these sounds and the events. So under this chronological plan of the rapture, we see first the return of the Lord. Second thing now is the resurrection of the saints. Look at your Bible, verse 16 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, that's the Lord, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, the trump of God the Father, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. William Barclay, wonderful New Testament commentary written years ago, says this: if a man has lived in Christ and died in Christ, even if he is dead, he is still in Christ. That means that between Jesus Christ and the man who loves him, there is a relationship which nothing can break. Is relationship which overpasses death, because Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again. So the man or the woman in Jesus Christ shall live and die and rise again, and nothing in life or death can separate them from God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Yeah, does that remind you of a passage of Scripture? Romans chapter 8, remember? Where the Lord is talking about it, and he talks about these things: what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. You hear me? Nothing. God loves you. He said, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor the angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thing. So we see the return of the Lord. We see the resurrection of the saints, the dead in Christ rise first. And then the third thing we see in this is the rapture of the living saints, the snatching out, the taking out. Verse 17, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians, verse 17 says, then, after those that are dead in Christ shall rise, their body, soul, rejoin, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord, or with them, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the word caught up, you may want to circle that. This is the word harpazo. Now, we get the word rapture from the Latin Vulgate, that it was translated, the harpazo, the snatching out, the being caught up, was translated, so we get the word rapture. But you hear people, liberal people, say, well, rapture's not in the Bible. You just tell them harpazo is, the caught up, the snatching away, it's in there. Now, this wonderful word has a full meaning. What is it saying? What is God saying? They shall be caught up together in the air. First of all, it means to carry off by force and power. Satan and his old demons would do all they could to block the church, uniting with Christ. But the Lord will overpower Satan. He's greater. He's more powerful. Satan can't do one thing against the Lord Jesus Christ. So first it means to carry off by force. God is coming to get his children, and all hell and the devil and everything else can't stop it. Hallelujah. Second, it means to joyfully claim something for yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ claims out of this world those who are his by salvation through faith in his shed blood. He has come for his bride. What a day. Don't you look forward to it? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're praying for you to come. So, this threefold meaning of this word means to carry off by force. It means to joyfully claim for oneself. And third, it means to snatch away speedily, suddenly. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we shall be changed. Changed. New glorified bodies for us. Millions are going to leave this earth to go home. millions more, their bodies had been resurrected. Now, fourth, it means to rescue from the danger of destruction, to remove before this terrible judgment on the earth of the tribulation. You hear some people say we're going through the tribulation, and you have some that say we're mid-trib, we're going to go through half of it, and then God's going to take us out. Friend, that isn't true. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in this passage where God is encouraging his people, removing that ignorance, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. The tribulation is the wrath of God poured out on the world. He says, but God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Could I get a hallelujah out of that? What a wonderful and marvelous thing. Now, let me give you an illustration. Just imagine a field with all kinds of metals. It's like kind of a junkyard that's out there, and all kind of metal is scattered all over this field. Gold, silver, tin, brass, iron, copper, zinc, aluminum, lead. Some of it up on top of the ground. That's a type of us. Some just beneath the surface. That dirt's covered them up, and they're under the topsoil. Others laying on top. And then you've probably seen it before. A large electromagnet is lowered over the field. I was in New York, and I went with a gentleman. We were going over, and we were looking at a big scrap iron yard. And we were over there talking to the man there and looking at it. And they took this big electromagnet, and boy, things just began to jump off the ground and hit this big magnet. And just picture this electromagnet lowered over the field. Suddenly, certain pieces of metal begin to fly off the surface, and from under the dirt, this power has pulled them up. The electromagnet carries some of the metal away. But then we examine the field. The zinc is still there. The lead's still there. All the brass is still there. The copper, even the silver and gold, the tin, the aluminum, it's all still there. Only the iron is taken out. Why? Because you see, the iron has the same nature as the electromagnet, and it is attracted to it. Let me ask you something. Do you have the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, to do that, you've got to be born again. God said he gives us a new nature, right? And are you attracted to Jesus? That when Jesus has come, you're going to be lifted up, taken out. Think of this, ladies and gentlemen. Every born-again pilot, there are going to be people flying on airplanes, and the pilots are Christians, and they're going to be taken out. On these great interstates, truck drivers that are born-again believers, they're going to be taken out. There's going to be truck crashes and plane crashes. Surgeons that are in there doing surgery, boom, they're gone. Some mother in there cooking supper, and maybe the dad's not saved. Mom's gone, and the children are gone. Some student in college taking a test. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, friends. Millions are going to disappear from the earth because Jesus Christ has come. And friend, he's coming, hallelujah. And you need to be ready to meet him. So now, remember, we're looking at the chronological plan of the rapture in this segment that we're dealing with. The return of the Lord Jesus with a shout, the resurrection of the saints, the dead, the rapture of the live saints, and the changing of us, the reunion of the family of God. Look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, and watch this, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're going to see our sweet Savior. I've never looked on him face to face. I've never seen him with my eyes. I've seen him with my heart, my spirit, my soul. But we will be with the Lord. One day, I believe it's soon, we're going to see our Savior face to face. We're going to see our loved ones. I'm going to hug my mama's neck again. I'm going to see my dad. I'm going to see my friends. I'm going to see precious folks who are members of Highland Park Baptist Church that over the years that I stood out in a cemetery with them and buried that body, and now they're resurrected, and we're all going to be together rejoicing, all the redeemed with the Lord. It's time for a shout now, friends. This is a hallelujah time. And then God says he will take us into his physical presence of God the Father and the sweet Holy Spirit. All right, now, here's what we've been doing. We saw a careful review of the rapture. We saw the certainty of the promised rapture. We saw the chronological plan of the rapture. And now, lastly, in this study, we're going to see the comforting purpose of the rapture. That it comforts our soul. It brings peace to our lives. Let's look at verse 18 again. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You see it? Comfort one another with these words. I can't count the number of times that over my nearly 50 years of ministry, well, over 53 years of ministry, standing at a graveside, that I've put my hand on a casket and with this family endeavored to comfort them with these words, that God comforts us and God encourages us. See, we're going to be with our saved loved ones again. We're going to be with our dear friends we've served the Lord with. We will be resurrected or raptured, one of the two. We're going to have a new body. Won't that be glorious? Many of us are getting to the age that is now appreciated. Am I right? No more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness. No more worries, no more problems, because we're home. We're home safe with the Lord. Friends, heaven awaits us. In our study, we're going to move through the next week. We're going to start talking about the judgment seat of Christ, for that's the next event. And we're just going to walk our way through and peep into heaven a little bit. We don't preach enough about heaven. I did a conference up in New York on heaven, preached all week on heaven. I started Sunday through the rest of the week and preached on heaven the whole time. And we just need more. I need to tape the series. People ask me all the time, could we get a copy of your heaven series? We didn't tape it. We were just so busy, and that's rare, going about the business of it all. But heaven awaits for us. Eternity with Jesus is ours because we have trusted him by simple faith. Amen? Now, we need to apply this to our lives. I think there are three applications to this wonderful truth we've looked at last week and this week. First, be sure you're saved. I'm not talking about church membership, friends. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm talking about the new birth, that you've been born again, that you believe in your heart and soul that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He was resurrected for your justification. And as you put your faith in him, for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, is a gift of God. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Are you sure that you're saved? It doesn't depend on how good you've been. It's not being good. It's not works. It's not the endeavors of your own. It's what Jesus did for you. Now, when Jesus saved you, he changes your life. But there's none of us perfect. I'm glad my hope is in Jesus, that blessed hope. I wouldn't trust the best 5 seconds of my life. I'm going to heaven because Jesus Christ died for a sinner like me. And I love him this morning. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the privilege to serve you. So be sure, number one, you're saved. That's application number one. Number two, be living and looking for the Lord's return. Now, there's a special reward for those that love his appearing, the Bible says. And so we need to be anticipating the coming of the Lord. That'll change your life. You're busy about God's business. You're doing what you can for the Lord. You're occupying until he comes. And so you want to be laboring for the Lord. Now, what all can you be doing in looking for the Lord and for the Lord's return? Well, that's the third application. Be a servant and a witness for Jesus Christ. Be a servant and a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast. That means be firm, be consistent, stay with it. Don't be flighty. Don't be drifting all over the place. Unmovable. Boy, your feet are planted on the rock. We're living in a day of political correctness. It's not popular to be a Christian. It's not popular to say Jesus is the only way. But friends, he is. There is no other name under heaven by which man must be born again. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. Be immovable. Teach the truth with love. Share the gospel everywhere. All right? Be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, you're working for God. You're not saved by works. Works won't save you. You're saved by faith. But if you've been saved by faith, then you produce good works. God said, let men see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we've been created unto good works. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has gifted you to use your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so that you use your life for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you want to be laboring. You say, well, Brother Boulder, what can I do? Well, let's start with one of the most important things of all, if not the most important, prayer. You can be a prayer warrior. Probably first hour of the morning, sometimes a little longer than that. I start the day in the Word of God, and then in prayer. And I've got my prayer book that I pray for people all over the world. I pray for America. I pray for our government. I pray for our president. God tells us to pray for our leaders and pray for souls. I pray for prodigal people that have backslidden. And we ought to be men and women of prayer. We ought to be praying and praying and praying. And then God says, you need to be a witness. He said, I'm going to give you power that you may be my witnesses. And you ought to be a witness of Jesus Christ. I try to give out tracts every day. I always have them I got them in my cars. I've got them when I write bills. I put them in the bills. I carry them in my coat pockets. I carry them in my pocket. And wherever I go, when I go to the store with Sue or whatever I do, I'm giving out gospel tracts. I'm endeavoring to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you want to be a prayer warrior. You want to be a witness. You want to be a giver. You ought to tithe to your church. You ought to be given to ministries. You ought to be given to WDYN. You're listening. You love it. You ought to give. You ought to be praying about being able to help. If we had 50 people give $1,000, we could do double the power of this station and be talking to people all over the place that would last till Jesus comes. It's not going to wear out. And we ought to be part of it. You can give, that you be a giver. You can't outgive God. Once I was young, now I'm old. I have not seen the children of God begging bread. Boy, I can bring testimony that God has met our needs. God has cared for Sue and I. He's underwritten our ministry. Where we've gone and done the work of the Lord, God has provided for it. And friend, he will you too. Amen. So you ought to be reading your Bible. You ought to be praying. You ought to be witnessing. You ought to be giving. And you ought to be loving people for Christ. Amen? Serving the Lord. Ministering people's life. Let people see Jesus in you and in your life. All right, we've been studying now the second coming of Christ. Next Tuesday, we're going to move from here to the judgment seat of Christ, because that's the next event for us. Once the rapture comes and we're home with the Lord with our new bodies, we get to see Jesus. Then we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to give account for what we have done in our bodies. That's where we're going to be evaluated for our works. Our sins were forgiven at Calvary, but we're going to give account for what we've done with our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, I hope you'll let God use your heart, use your life. I want to encourage you to pray for us. Pray for Sue and I as we labor. God, give us energy and strength and wisdom. Pray for WDYN. Pray for Tommy and the team here, that God would bless them and watch over them, and God would give them the resources. Pray with me. Let's join begin to pray. Sue and I are already planning. We're going to give. we're going to help raise this $50,000 to double it. It's on my heart to let's do it. And when I see people and other pastors, I talk to them about it, and I want to encourage you. You begin to pray. Now, I know we all give. We gave to the Share-a-thon. We got to do that to support the operational ministry, but we need to go beyond that a little bit. And all of us do something. We can start the fun, and we can double the power. Like that chewing gum, double the pleasure, double the fun, and double the power. Amen? Well, friend, thank you again for being with us on the broadcast here on Gospel Dynamite. We pray God will love you and bless you and encourage you and use you for His glory. I hope you'll tune in next week. Hope you'll be praying with us. Invite other people to listen. And together, we're going to walk through the Word of God. We're going to heaven. We're headed that way. We're going to study our way through the wonderful city of Jerusalem, our heavenly home. Well, till next week, this is David Bowler. It's my prayer the Lord will richly, richly bless you.